Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the second ray of love, wisdom. Before we start our show, I'd like to give some credit to Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors Inner Sight, this show. And Alice Bailey wrote 24 volumes of literature. And those 24 volumes of literature from Alice Bailey are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show, as is the following thought. There is one life which expresses itself primarily through seven basic qualities or aspects, and secondarily through the myriad diversity of forms. These seven radiant qualities of divinity are the seven rays. Love and wisdom seem like essential qualities for the world today, don't they?
Absolutely. What do we need more in the world today on an individual level, a group level, a worldwide level than love? But it has to be an intelligent love, not the kind of sentimental, personality-centered, blind love or affection that often is mistaken for true spiritual love. Love wisdom as one of the seven expressions of divinity is a love that is utterly inclusive, comprehensive of everything and everyone upon the planet, and yet not blind. It's a love that is without measure and without judgment. And it expresses, I suppose, more than any other quality, how we perceive God. Quite often it's said that God is love. And I think this is the recognition on the part of humanity that the very essence of God or the Creator is love. And that's the kind of love that we're talking about when we discuss the second ray.
Yeah, this second ray of love, wisdom, is the major ray of this planet, actually. And it affects all life on this planet. And that's why the great exponents of this particular energy of love was the Christ and the Buddha. They together form the highest, perhaps the highest expression that we have ever seen on this planet of this ray energy of love and wisdom.
Alice Bailey saw a slight differentiation in those two great world teachers. I think she said that the Buddha was the preeminent example of wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and Christ
right.
of love,
right?
Which are, I suppose, two sides of one basic divine energy.
It's one of the rays that has, it's a dual expression,
mm-hmm.
and love and wisdom. And wisdom is necessary to carry us forward onto the higher planes. And that's what we develop by expressing love in our lives, as fully as we can, as inclusively as we can. It's that kind of love. It's not so much the affectionate kind of love,
mm-hmm.
but it's the all-inclusive understanding that comes with divine love.
It's said that to contrast souls who are developing spiritually on Ray 1, which we discussed in the last program, And on this ray is illuminating. Ray one is the ray of power or will. And this second ray is the ray of love, wisdom. And those two qualities, power and love, are really the essence of God. God is both powerful and utterly loving. And in understanding these two rays, we understand a great deal about our relationship to God. It's interesting that this ray of love, wisdom, especially governs the person who's trying to develop spiritually in a very serious way, not the person who's just beginning to explore spiritual matters, but one who is really setting about reconstructing his life and treading a path of spiritual development. That person is most likely governed on some level by the second ray of love wisdom. And I suppose that's because the energy of the soul, the higher self, is the essence of love. We all have access to this love and, in fact, are an expression of it through our ability to live as a soul.
And that's the key to today's the troubles in the world today, is to trying to live as the soul. And that's where, by living as the soul, that's where the great quality of love comes through in its highest and most deepest aspect.
It's interesting. I've been reading a book about near-death experiences and near-death experiencers. A new book by Kenneth Ring, who did so much groundbreaking work in the study of near-death experiences at the University of Connecticut. He's retired now, but he has hundreds, if not thousands, of accounts or testimonies of people who have had a near-death experience. He's been studying this for, I suppose, 20 years or more. And the book I'm reading tells about the reports by these people of their NDEs, as they call them, their near-death experiences. There are variations in their experience, of course, but they all mention encountering an overwhelming love. And they're very vividly aware that they don't necessarily deserve that love in the sense of being perfect, harmless, faultless, blameless people. It's not that. It's an illumining kind of love that they experience on what they call the other side, that is not blind to who they are, that in fact illuminates exactly in detail how they have lived their lives, including the errors, the slip-ups, the wrongs, as well as the little triumphs and achievements, but all that is done with an unwavering, all-inclusive love, unconditional.
That's the kind of atmosphere that they find themselves in, mm-hmm. And it's a suddenly they are free from the confines of the body, and they enter into this tremendously loving atmosphere. And this is where the soul exists, in this atmosphere all the time, and it just kind of blows your mind if you think about it, because where is all this love in the world? We just don't feel it down here in this world, where everything is so separate and separated and confined in a form of some kind. We're cut off from that love, but they really experience it.
I suppose you could say we cut ourselves off from it by word you used, there, our separateness. We live under the great illusion that each of us is a separate individuality, separate from all other human beings, separate from the life of our planet. We live on the planet but are not a part of it. We live among other people, but we are not really one with them. And that illusion, I suppose, is more than anything what cuts us off from that love.
Right, and that's what we have to discover, I think, while right here in the world, in the form. We have to discover that and bring through that love, because these people that have come back from these near-death experiences, some of them are angry. Mm-hmm. They just don't want to leave that atmosphere. Mm-hmm. One lady in particular, I remember saying, she was angry, because she had to pull back into her physical body, and she just resented it for a year or so afterwards.
But I think that we, in just recent years, have had more of an experience or an encounter with divine love through two enormous tragedies. One was the September 11th experience. Those of us who were here in New York remember, at least to me, I vividly remember on that very day and for several weeks afterward, a sense of overwhelming love, oddly enough. And I don't know where that love came from, because things were clearly falling apart and people were suffering deeply. But I think the love that you could sense that day was the response of people to the terrible suffering.
Mm-hmm.
People responded absolutely appropriately in their willingness to give all to heal and comfort. And another example was the tsunami wave of December 26th last year, which evoked such a worldwide response of help and compassion. So we are becoming more familiar with this divine energy, unfortunately, through sorrow.
Yes, it's ironic that it takes tragedy to bring out the best in us, but that's the way it is until we can bring out the best in ourselves every day of our lives in the same way.
It seems that only when we are driven to the very brink of desperation do we give up our sense of autonomy as individuals and bond with the whole of humanity. It takes that desperation and that sense of overwhelming need to drive us out of our shells. And then when we do so, we encounter love.
Absolutely.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, the second ray of love and wisdom. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today. It's called The Seven Rays of Life. It's a compilation of extracts from all 24 books of Alice Bailey on this particular topic. And it makes reading easier for you. I like the compilations because they abridge the longer chapters that you find in the complete books. And it gives me a priority, more or less. I know which topics I want to read first. So I peruse it and I go through the abridgments or the compilations rather quickly. And then I make up a priority of those subjects within the compilations that I want to return to in the larger volumes. So once again, today's offer is a book called The Seven Rays of Life. Of course, it's an Alice Bailey book. And the chapters do include an overview of the seven rays, the rays in world affairs, the rays in human development, the spiritual path and the rays, and ray methods of service, among many other topics. So the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. It's a discount that is quite dramatic by today's standards of how expensive it is to ship things out. So it's available for $15. What you need to do is send a check or a money order, $15, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Ask for the book, The Seven Rays, and mention on a little note that you heard about it on Inner Sight. Once again, that's a check or money order for $15. To Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We appreciate the support that you've given us in the past, and we certainly need it now because we want to stay on the air. We'd love to continue doing these shows for you, so if you can make a donation, please do so. We appreciate all the support you've given us in the past. You've done very well by us, so once again, if you want to send a donation to us, send it to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And if you need to get in contact with us for any reason, if you'd like a general package of information about Lucis Trust or want to know about our meditation readings, or like to purchase cassettes of these radio shows, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866 N-Y, Lucis. Think of 1-866 New York, Lucis. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. And if you'd like, you can go to our website, which is www.lucistrust.org, and you can click on Inner Sight. There's a library of archive shows for you, and also you can find other information about Lucis Trust. But once again, it's www.lucistrust.org, and click on Inner Sight. So I would like to know, are we ready for the wisdom part of it? The love aspect was very interesting, but I'd like to know also about the wisdom, if you were up to that point.
I would hope we're getting ready. There's an interesting comment in Alice Bailey. We mentioned in previous programs that these rays govern not only human beings, but groups, institutions, even nations. And she makes the comment that the soul of Great Britain is governed by the ray of love wisdom, and that Britain is the custodian of the wisdom aspect for the present. And I think we can see that at work in Britain's role, for example, in the European Union and in keeping the bridge between the United States and Europe. And she says that the role of America, who is also governed by the second ray on the level of the soul, is to be the custodian of wisdom for the near future. And that makes me wonder, when we look at today's policies and attitudes, the very independent kind of separative strain that seems to be expressing through this country, it would seem to me that we might be going against that contribution that this nation is supposed to make. But maybe one needs a little bit of distance to be able to judge that.
Of course, all of the rays are, that, including the second ray, is qualified and modified and tempered by other rays too. All the other rays that are also circulating, rays which we have talked about and will talk about later on. And, of course, in this country, the personality aspect of our nation is governed by the sixth ray of idealism, and that's pretty prominent and obvious from our history, even, that how this idealism comes through, and it's so strong. And it tempers the second ray quality, I think. So I think we're struggling in this country to bring through that soul quality of love, wisdom.
The struggle is, I think, between zeal and real wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
The zeal of idealism.
We don't always act with great wisdom, but we act with a lot of assurance that we our way is right.
Mm-hmm.
So there are still conflicting energies out there working through us.
Another interesting aspect of the second ray is to consider the areas of human experience that it governs. We talked about the first ray of power or will having a special influence on government, which makes sense, on the political field. People who are very active in that field often are governed on some level, personality or soul, by the first ray. The second ray, its major field is religion. And one might think, well, religion, isn't the world in a lot of trouble today because of religious differences? Doesn't religion lie behind so much of the separatism that divides one people from another? Yes, but I think on its purest level, religion is what binds us together. It's the magnetic force of love among human beings that leads them to seek divinity, God. The very meaning of religion is to bind back. And that suggests the second ray energy of inclusive love. To return to the source is the purpose, ultimately, of religion. And we can see the expression of this energy in the efforts to establish interfaith dialogue in the World's Parliament of Religions that was held in, I think, 1893, and again in 1993, which brought together representatives of all the world's faith, faiths in a search for common ground. These are examples of the second ray.
Right, and the difficulties that religion is going through today, with all the scandal in the church and so forth, is probably all of that is being forced up to the surface for recognition and resolution, and because it's making a way. The impact of this second ray on our human consciousness is kind of preparing the way for a new understanding of the relationship we have with God and this great deity of love. And so we have to kind of get past all of the stuff that's been lying in the consciousness for decades and generations, to get it all out and get it behind us so we can move on.
The contrast between the first ray and the second ray is interesting in another way. The first ray is the ray of the destroyer, which, as we talked about, is sometimes a divinely motivated impulse. We're talking about the destruction of form, which is not the real indwelling life. Life, Alice Bailey wrote, is one, and naught can take or touch that life. It endures, no matter what occurs on the outer level. But the destructive aspect is the first ray working to eliminate forms and vessels, you could say, that are no longer of service to the indwelling divine life. The second ray works in the opposite way. It works to build. It draws to itself. It's magnetic and inclusive and builds upon that which is positive.
Yeah, the second ray is the great building ray. And many of the builders of the world, not only those who put up big buildings and construct tall buildings and big institutions and things like that, but those who build new thought forms and new consciousness, they are constantly building the new, and they are very often very prominent in the on the second ray line.
That's what makes these souls on the second ray teachers. They're natural teachers. Mm-hmm. They can select and educate people who can then carry these ideas that have been established by the second ray, carry them deeper into the human experience and apply them in practical ways. The second ray, I suppose, is less practical than some of the other rays. It's the ray of the student, the ponderer, the meditator, the reflector, who loves to study and dwell on the level of ideas, one who is a natural bookworm, a student.
Of course, yes, those that brings up a good point that in determining what your ray may be, if and everybody has, as we have said before, everybody has a combination of at least five rays, and it's the predominance of any particular ray that will often determine what one's characteristics and how one behaves in any lifetime situation. And so we can look at ourselves and see that where we have glamours, that because each of the rays has certain glamours and each of the rays has certain vices and virtues, and this is all laid out in the Bailey writings about that. For example, the second ray is one of the virtues of the second ray is calmness and strength and patience and endurance and those kind of qualities. And one of the vices is overabsorption in study and coldness, and it's just what you said. One can become so studious that they are totally absorbed in study to the expense of their relationships with friends and family. So,
another glamour of the second ray that I find interesting is the love of being loved.
Oh, that's, yeah.
The glamour that will cause one to do anything to preserve the goodwill of others and to preserve their approval. So it has a kind of self-centered aspect to it. That
love of popularity would go along with that.
Yeah. And we can also focus on the element of the second ray that works out through teaching and through study. The second ray, if it governs on the level of the soul, would, I suppose, make one a natural teacher. Not necessarily somebody employed in the field of education, but one who, whether he works in a business or in a trade or whatever, is just naturally the kind of person who can train, pass on, and share what he or she knows with others. And that might help our listeners to decide if they have some of this energy working through them. Because as we've implied, we're a mixture of various rays. To review, every human being is governed by a particular ray energy on the level of the soul, another ray energy on the level of the personality, which is our normal presentation of ourselves to the world, the soul being the higher self. And then our mind, emotions, and physical body are all governed by a particular ray. So it can be quite a challenge to figure out what energies are at work.
Right, and some of these rays are not all that evident in everybody, but one ray may be more outstanding than the other, and that's the great science that psychology is going to be grappling with in the future, I think. In fact, it's starting today, a new way of understanding human personality and human psychology through the study of the rays.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that is the book by Alice Bailey, entitled The Seven Rays of Life. The Seven Rays of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey on the subject that we're talking about today, the rays. And it's an overview of the seven rays, the rays in the world affairs, the rays in human development, and many other topics that you'll find of interest that pertains to today's discussion. What you need to do is send a check or money order for $15. That's $15, check or money order, to Lucis Publishing. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's $15. Check a money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And please mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.